to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we continue our study from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. We're getting close to the end, only a couple more lessons left. The subtitle of the series is Finding Joy in a Negative World. Finding Joy in a Negative World. I titled the lesson tonight, and it wasn't original with me. I was studying various places about Philippians, and somebody said, this is about food for thought. I thought, that's a good title. It's a saying, food for thought. Literally, it doesn't make sense because food's something you eat. But what does that term, what does that phrase mean, or what do you think about when you hear that? Food for thought.
Good stuff to ponder.
Good stuff to ponder. John?
Like a cow, chewing good, you chew it, just mules on you.
Like a cow chewing its cud, you think about it. You know, that's actually kind of a definition of what the word meditate is supposed to mean. You know, things that you think about and you just don't let it go in one ear and out the other, or just a fleeting thought, but something that you meditate, you think clearly and more deeply upon, all right? And the idea that being food, that it's something good, it's something that should be helpful, it's something that should strengthen, it's something that should nourish. And all those thoughts are in the passage we're going to look at tonight. A couple weeks ago, before I went on vacation, we were looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, and it was talking about the peace of God. And just a quick review, that passage tells us that peace comes about as a result of prayer. Okay, verses 6 and 7. But that passage also clues us in on some things that even if we do pray right, there are things that can keep us from peace. And those things are by not being right with God, by not being right with other people, by not thinking right, and not by not living right. If any of those things are true, even though we pray, we may not experience the fullness of God's peace. Now, in that lesson, we had to go real quick over verses 8 and 9 that talks about thinking right and living right. And I told you that we were going to come back and deal with those in more depth, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk in more depth about right thinking and right living. And if you look at this letter of Paul to the Philippians, these two verses really summarize not only his teaching in Philippians, but basically most of his teaching in all of his letters about how we need to live as Christians. Maybe not in detail, but the general principles. So it's going to be some good stuff here. So we're going to be looking at just two verses tonight, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to read them right now. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So we're going to look at these two verses in two categories where Paul says, think about these things, and then he says, practice these things. So those are the two titles I have there. So first of all, we got think on these things, or think about these things. We're going to look at these things in a little more depth, but not too much, so we don't have enough time, but they're all good things. So in general, why is it important to think on good things? All right, Carlton is quoting scripture there. "As a man thinketh, so is he." What does that mean? It means if you think you're 7 feet tall, you're going to be 7 feet tall. Not that way. What'd you say, Jeff? Whatever you think in your mind, and you said your heart, which is a good word because the Bible uses both words, but it uses heart more. And we think of heart as the place of our emotions. In the Bible, that is true, but it's more of the place of our intellect and our will and what we focus on. So what we think in our heart is going to come forth. We'll deal with that a little bit deeper, too. Any other thoughts about why it's so important to think on good things? Feed up. Okay, so it's the first step to walking in obedience to God. Okay, good deal. Lynn. That's right. Most of the times what we think we end up doing, and most everything we do, except for instinctual things, you know, are a result of a thought and a decision that we've made. All these things are very, very true. I heard this illustration that Just like good food is necessary for physical health, good thoughts are necessary for mental and spiritual health. On your note sheet, I have this as a general thought. A person's thoughts determine their character, words, actions, habits, and lifestyle. It's a long list, but they're important things. What we think about. At first, I was going to put influence, and that's true. But actually determines a little bit stronger word, and I think that's true too, that our thoughts determine the kind of character we're going to have, the words that are going to come out of our mouths, the actions we're going to do, which over time become habits, which over time becomes a whole lifestyle. And we see a lot of that in Scripture. I just put a couple of verses on here. These are from Jesus' teachings. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he said, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And where does the abundance of the heart come from? What we're thinking about. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." And the last scripture is actually just one example that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:28. He said, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So our actions are a result of our thoughts and our attitudes. Okay? There's an old term that was originally, I believe, was originally associated with computer programming that a lot of people have used since then for life. It's called garbage in, garbage out. Right? Whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out. In computer programming, if you have garbage programming, you're going to have a garbage program. It's not going to run right. A very practical way to think of it is what we think about, we're going to live out. So Paul says that because of that, these are things that we should think about, all right? And he's got a list here of eight different things. The first six are specific. The last two, seven and eight, are kind of general categories. And we could do a whole lesson on each one, but we're not going to. He says, first of all, whatever is true. Whatever is true. That one's almost obvious. It's like, okay, what's true? But I put some subcategories here. Accurate, sincere, or reliable. When we think of truth, that is most basic meaning, it means that which corresponds to reality. Okay, it's accurate. But there's also an aspect of truth that it's sincere. Okay? If someone tells you something and they're, even if they're saying truthful words, but they're not sincere, there's an aspect to it where it's not fully true. Okay? And I want us to think of these also in the opposite. You know, what would be the opposite of truth? Lies. But I put down untruth, which would include lies. Okay? Definitely includes lies. But when you think about untruth, something can be said that's not an out and out lie, but it's still not totally truthful, is it? I mean, we hear about half truths. How's that old saying, half truths or whole lies? You know? But it can include exaggerations. Now, everybody understands people exaggerate to make a point, and nobody's saying, you're a liar, you know, that kind. Even Jesus used exaggeration to make points. It's called hyperbole. But when people deliberately exaggerate to deceive people, to misinform them, you know, that's not good. They're being deceitful. So he says, think on those things that are true. All right? Now, before we get to the, when we get toward the end of this section, we're going to talk about what does it really mean to think about these things? All right? But first of all, think about those things that are true. The second one, he says, whatever is honorable. Some translations put it, whatever is noble. That which is worthy of respect, dignified, or exalted in character. A lot of times we think of honor and honorable as being people, but this is talking about thoughts. What would be the opposite of honorable? Dishonorable. Pretty obvious, right? But what actually does that mean? What comes to your mind when you think of honorable versus dishonorable? Can anybody give an example? Okay. Okay, character has a lot to do with this, because you think of a person being honorable or dishonorable. So this has to do with thoughts that go along with that, those character traits. Anybody else have something? Amanda? Inconsiderate? Okay, that could fit in that same category, I think. Yeah, Chris? Yeah, that's another whole aspect that could that actually could apply to most of these, is that, you know, the way you look on the outside may not be what's on the inside. But eventually what's on the inside is going to come out. You know, it's like squeezing a tube of toothpaste. When you get into the squeeze, what's inside is going to come out when you get squeezed. All right. The third one, he says, to think on that which is just, or some translations say right or righteous. Okay. And what that means is to meet God's standards of righteousness. And I think it's important that we think of this from the perspective of God's standards. Because if you ask anybody what is right or what is just, you could get a lot of different opinions. All right. As believers, though, and we're talking about trying to follow Jesus and do what is right in God's sight, we have to look at God's standards of righteousness. Where do we find God's standards of righteousness? In God's Word. I thought I'd give you a really easy question out there. So anyway, we need to learn to think about things the way God thinks about them. You know, there's that old saying, a little bit different, but say we want to see people the way God sees them. You know, with love and compassion and all that kind of stuff. But we need to train ourselves to look at situations, to look at decisions, to look at ethics, look at everything and try to see it or try to understand how God sees it. Okay? What standard does God use? What would be the opposite of thinking on things that are just or right? What? Unjust or wrong. Yeah, to use the literal opposite. Okay, that is true. But as I was thinking about this today, I was thinking, you know, any time that we excuse sin, and I'm talking about in our own lives. I mean, it's easy to point fingers at others. But let's get personal here. Anytime we excuse sin or tolerate sin or glorify sin, our culture glorifies many types of sins, that's just the opposite of thinking on those things that are just or those things that are right. Okay? He says, think about those things that are pure, whatever is pure. I define that as free from contamination or blemish, wholesome. Remember that old commercial, 99.9% pure? What was that a commercial for? Ivory soap. Yep, ivory soap. So those things that are pure, you know, this is a big problem in our culture, okay? Our culture is saturated by things that are impure, at least according to God's standards. And obviously impure would be the opposite of that. Number five would be think on those things that are lovely. Lovely. This isn't talking necessarily about physical beauty, but it's talking about moral beauty, morally pleasing and agreeable, okay? Morally pleasing and agreeable. Number six is think on those things that are commendable. Some translations say admirable. Means adheres to high standards. One of the resources I was studying on this, you know, what does it mean when we commend somebody?
Compliment.
We compliment them. And why do we compliment them? What? To show appreciation, but yet there's a reason why to show appreciation. But why do we commend them? What have they done?
They met expectations.
They what?
They met expectations.
Actually, they usually exceed expectations, right? What were you saying, Amanda? They met a high standard. Okay. Yeah, they met a high standard. They adhered or exceeded expectations. So being commendable and admirable is like going the extra mile. All right. Again, one of the resources I was studying, it said, what would people think if your thoughts were spoken out loud? Now, we all wrestle with that because we all have thoughts that go through our head. And we're going to get to that idea about how do we actually do this? You know, and what does this mean in just a minute when we get through this whole list? And that's why I'm going through the list kind of quick, because I want to get to the practical application of it. Because I think most of us understand when a thought's a good one or a bad one. All right. These are just, I mean, and this is not meant to be an exhaustive list. We could have made a bigger list of all things that are good or bad or whatever, but this is what Paul tells us here. But the opposite of commendable, I would think, would be shameful. You know, instead of something that exceeds expectations, is better or whatever, it's shameful. And then, like I said, the last two words are kind of just a general summary of the others, but he says, if anything is excellent, all right, if there's any excellence, again, some translations say virtue, and this is talking about morally excellent, all right, it's just basically morally good, or number eight, worthy of praise. And again, this is from God's perspective, that which God would think was worthy of praise. Our world praises all kinds of stuff. And we can have the tendency to praise all kinds of stuff that maybe God wouldn't praise. But this is talking about what, from God's perspective. Now, again, we could make a even longer list of good thoughts, and we could make a long list of bad thoughts, and we can find scriptural support for all of those things. But when Paul says here, think on these things, or think about these things, what does that mean? What is he trying to tell us? Vita.
His knowledge.
Okay, yeah, that's a theme all through the book of Proverbs and throughout the Bible, but it's mentioned a lot in Proverbs, to get understanding, to get wisdom, and especially from the perspective of God's knowledge of things and God's wisdom, and that's certainly part of this process. The thinking on these things is what will lead us to that. Yeah, Chris? Okay, so when he talks about thinking on these things, he needs to put all that stuff in. And you mentioned the opposite, which Paul doesn't mention, but it's certainly part of the process. You got to get all the bad stuff out. All right? Okay. On your note sheet, I have it this way. To think on these things, or to think about these things, means that they are your primary focus. It doesn't mean that you just have a thought every once in a while. You know, he's not saying, there's going to be a lot of other ways he could say it. Say, hey, every once in a while, why don't you think a good thought? You know, every once in a while, why don't you just whatever? He's talking about what are you really focused on? What, you know, if you were to say, well, you know, you got this kind of thoughts going in your head, you got this kind of thoughts going, you know, what is the majority of the thoughts that are going on in your head? All right? Are they good things? Are they bad things? Yeah, I think, Lynn, you had your hand up before anybody else.
And the actions will eventually become more character. Mm-hmm. And the character will become your way of life.
That's right. You know, it means think on it enough that it influences us. You know, that's one of the reasons why it's sad, and if this convicts you, I have no idea reason to believe to know that this would convict you. So know that I'm not saying this on purpose to convict you. But that's why I think it's so sad that there are many Christians that spend such little time with God's Word. Okay? Because that's part of the thinking on these things, is bringing God's Word into our minds so that it influences us. Okay? And it changes us, and it molds us, and shapes us, and helps us mature. I think I saw another hand besides Vita's. She's answered several times, and that's okay. But I thought I saw somebody else. Carlton?
I was thinking what John said earlier, between the cut.
Yeah? That the process of thinking, basically the whole time we're awake.
Okay. The Holy Spirit helps us in that.
That's right. That it's motivated and influenced by God's truth, which is found primarily in God's Word. Okay, Vita, we'll let you go ahead and give another answer. Go ahead.
It's all about application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we gotta keep in mind whatever we choose to allow in our heads are gonna influence and are a very important part of the process of making decisions and making the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Some people, a lot of people put a lot of effort in a lot of different things. Are we willing to put the same kind of effort into thinking God's thoughts and understanding God's wisdom? So to think on these things or about these things means they are your primary focus. I put down to focus on, to fill your mind with, to meditate on, to spend time thinking about, to give them weight in your decisions. Now, how do we do that in our culture and in our world? Because I think we all realize that our culture and our world is full of a lot of garbage ideas and garbage thoughts. How do we do that? Okay, find like-minded people. Like what? Okay, so it has to do with the people we hang out with too. But does that mean that we should just isolate ourselves from all people who aren't Christians? No, I know you didn't mean that. I'm just throwing that out there as the devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. In other words, because God wants us to be in the world. We can't isolate ourselves. And to be honest with you, it's physically impossible to totally isolate ourselves from the world. All right? But we can make choices about how much time we spend and where our focus is. Yeah. Lisa, you had your hand up.
Being intentional in spending that time.
Yes. Being intentional spending time on good thoughts, God's word, with other people, like Amanda says, that are, think those same thoughts, talk those same things with you. So be intentional to make sure that the main focus, the main amount, the main stuff that's coming into your mind is in agreement with God's word. Yeah, God's word, you can read it, but you can listen to it. And then other venues in which you get the truths of God, where you're talking about worship music or whatever. So we need to focus on that. You know, and we have to guard ourselves. You know, you think of putting a security system on your house. It's to keep certain things, people, from getting in. I love this quote by Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, the Middle Ages reformer. He said, "You cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." You know, you can't help, especially living in our world, you can't help sometimes the thoughts that come into your mind. But what are you going to focus on? What are you going to dwell on? What are you going to let inhabit that? I mean, can we eliminate all negative thoughts? No. But we need to make sure we don't allow that to become an excuse to say, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, what I let into my brain. Sometimes people use that for excuses about wanting to be able to watch certain TV shows or movies or read certain books or magazines. And I'm not trying to do some clothesline preaching here. We all have to make our decisions on what we let into our head. But what we let into our head is going to affect us. I remember hearing somebody one time, I was reading a book and they used this as an illustration. It wasn't original with me. They said, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know what? That's just life, you know, to justify or excuse watching certain stuff on TV or reading certain things, whether it's descriptions of actions or seeing certain things or language or that's just real life. And we live real life. And he says that his response was, you know what? Garbage is real life too, but we don't dump it on the middle of the living room floor. You know what I'm saying? And I was thinking that the illustration that we have to deal with trash and garbage and dirt in this life, physically, but spiritually speaking. But that doesn't mean that we dump it on the floor. We don't smear it in our bed. We put it where it belongs and we deal with it as little as possible. So as we live in this world and we got all these thoughts flying at us, we have to deal with them, but we don't need to dwell on them. And we don't need to deliberately pour them into our heads, you know? Okay, so the last thing on your note sheet under that end, that topic, that category was fill your mind with God's word. That's the primary thing we can do. Fill your mind with God's word. So that was the first category. Think on these things. The second one is practice these things. That was verse 9. Let me reread it because it's been a little while. He says, "What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, how is the practice these things related to the think about these things? When you think it, you do it. We've already talked about that, right? What we think about, what we put in there, it's going to come out. All right? So, Paul's words, actions, and lifestyle were a result of his thought life. Now, Paul puts himself forward as an example. And we've seen that before. He's already done it in Philippians, another place, and another letters. We're going to read a couple of them in a moment. But he says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And we've mentioned, why did he say that? Because much of the New Testament hadn't been written yet. And the way new believers learned was by following their leaders. Now, even though we now have the full Bible, we have the New Testament, we have all these teachings, we still learn a lot from the examples of our leaders. Good or bad, right? Right. So, but the ultimate source of truth and the greatest example is Jesus. So what is Paul saying here? Number one, practice truth that you have learned from good teaching. Practice truth that you have learned from good teaching. He mentions that in this verse when he talks about what you've learned, what you've received, and what you've heard. Okay, the teaching, the tradition that was held, handed down by the apostles from Jesus, you know. In other words, don't just learn it and get a bunch of head knowledge, put it into practice. The second one is practice truth that you've learned from good examples. Talk about people. Good examples of speech and good examples of conduct are the two subpoints there. He says what you've heard and what you've seen. And he's talking about himself specifically, but it's not just him. It's other good leaders, other good Christ followers. And I would just throw this in there. Don't think of yourself as not being one of these because you're not an elder or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or whatever. All of us as followers of Jesus should make this our goal, that we'll be a good example to the people that look to us. Okay? So practice truth that you've learned from good examples. Again, Paul has put himself forward as this many times. 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says, I urge you then, be imitators of me. And he goes on to explain why and how. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And I like that one the best, because he's basically saying, follow me, imitate me, as long as you see that I'm imitating Jesus. If I get away from imitating Jesus, don't follow that example. All right? Earlier in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. He says, it's not just me. Anybody else that you see that's living for Jesus, follow their example too. 2 Thessalonians 3:7, he says, for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. And again, he goes on to describe how and why if you read the following verses. Now, I threw this last thing in here, number three. Practice until you get it right. Practice. Now, what does it mean to practice these things? I mean, we didn't even deal with that because I left it till last. He says, what you've learned, received, heard, and seen, practice these things. I think we're so used to hearing that phrase. What does it mean to practice something? To do it over and over and over. You know, I heard somebody say, that's what makes me nervous with people that are lawyers and doctors. It says they're practicing law. They're practicing medicine. It's like, I don't want them to mess with me until they get it right. But that's not the point. The point isn't in saying practice something isn't that they don't get it right. It means that I keep on doing it. I keep getting better. I keep working on it. All right. What'd you say, Janet? And it's intentional. If you're practicing something, it's because you've made a decision to do it. Okay? So you put it into action and you keep on doing it. How long will it take? How long are we have to practice this stuff? Till we get to heaven, right? Yeah. I mean, I thought of this today. You know, athletes, how long do they practice? I mean, when do they get good enough they can just stop and just go play a game? Never. They keep on practicing. It doesn't matter what sport you're looking at, you know? You think about musicians. When do they stop practicing? And when do they get enough they don't have to practice anymore? They don't. But that's not meant to be discouraging. It just means that we keep on keeping on. So we get better and we maintain the level that we've achieved. All right. And so Paul says here that if we do this, we let God have the primary focus and his truth in our minds, and then we put it into practice. And we follow those who are leaders that are doing that well. And we contemplate the fact that people are looking at us. They're being influenced by us, that we want to be the same way. And it says, the God of peace will be with you. And I got these last two thoughts on your note sheet. This one I heard a long time ago when I was a kid. If you know God, you know peace. But if there's no God, there's no peace. Okay? And the last one doesn't have a fill in the blank, but I read this in a commentary. It says, to have the God of peace is more significant than having the peace of God. But the good news is if you know the God of peace, really know the God of peace, and he's a part of your life, you will have the peace of God. As long as you do all the things that we've talked about in this lesson and in the previous lesson too. I kind of rushed through that because I was afraid we wouldn't get done in time. Anybody have a final thought or comment about this before we close in prayer?
Being intentional.
Yes, we have to be intentional. And the real practical application of this is, be careful about what you feed into your mind. Okay? Don't make excuses. Don't, you know, and again, I'm not trying to tell you what you can and can't listen to, read, watch, or whatever, because all you gotta do is look at God's Word. You know, does it line up with what God's Word says is good, right, true, all these things that we talked about? What'd you say?
What David said, allow non impure thing in front of my eyes.
Yes, David wrote about how don't let anything impure be in front of my eyes. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, earlier in Philippians, Paul said, I press toward the high mark of the mark of a high calling of God. So what is God's best for you? That's what we should be pursuing in our thoughts and in our actions. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Just a note, next week we're going to look at verses 10 to 13 of Philippians chapter 4, okay? Father, thank you for the time that we've had together tonight to study this particular passage of Scripture. I pray that as we continue to meditate on these truths, which is actually applying what we talked about tonight, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, convict us. If there's anything that we are allowing into our lives that we can not allow and we shouldn't allow, help us to make the right decisions to see that happen. Lord, there's always going to be those things that we're going to see in passing, just living in this world, thoughts that we're going to have, things that we're going to hear just by being in public and all that kind of stuff. God, help us to guard our hearts and our minds. Help us to make deliberate choices, Lord God, to be intentional. The word that has been said so many times, be intentional of feeding our minds the truth. And that, Lord God, which is good and honorable and just and lovely and commendable and all those kind of things, Lord God. But may we do it, Lord God, out of a sense of, not out of a sense of legalism, but out of a sense of just loving you and wanting your truth to be that which guides our lives, Lord God, because it's gonna make us into the people that we become. And I pray that as that happens, Lord God, that we would be examples that people could follow because we're trying to follow you. God, we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.